Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And now we conclude the May series called Legal Weed. Brian has been talking to Mark Kleiman about the logistics of introducing legal marijuana at the state level. Kleiman is currently advising Washington State on their process. Voters there and in Colorado decided to legalize recreational marijuana in November. Kleiman is also professor of public policy at the UCLA School of Public Affairs and co-author of Marijuana Legalization, What Everyone Needs to Know. Mark, thanks for joining us today.
Jamie, my pleasure.
We're going to ask our listeners to call in if you have questions about marijuana legalization, if there's anything you want to ask Mark Kleiman about these two test cases, Washington State and Colorado, as they move forward with recreational cannabis. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or you can always leave a comment at WNYC. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, WNYC.org. So, Mark, you've talked with Brian and our listeners over the last month about the details that have to be considered when pot becomes legal, things like branding, driving under the influence. Where is Washington State in the process?
Washington State has a complicated administrative procedure. So the Liquor Board, which is the administrative agency set by the law, issued an informal set of draft regulations May 15th. And around June 15th, they will make that a formal draft set, which starts a comment period. If any of the comments require substantial changes, they'll have to go back and restart the clock, which they're hoping not to do. So they're hoping that the draft set they publish next month will turn out to be mostly the final set. And they're hoping to actually have licenses issued sometime late in the fall and stores open for business around the first of the year.
Wow. And most of the discussion around what the Obama administration might do, the feds, about this revolves around the Justice Department sort of turning a blind eye, looking the other way, using their discretion. You've described it as a nod and a wink. But you don't think it's a very good idea, do you? In fact, you kind of think it's a terrible idea, right?
Well, it's always a question of compared to what. There's a simple solution, which is the feds come in and say, no, you can't do this, and shut it all down. The Constitution does not allow the federal government to require the state government to forbid something. So if Washington and Colorado had simply repealed their marijuana laws, there wouldn't be anything the feds could do about it. This complicated tax and regulatory process is something the feds could interfere with, since everybody who wants to grow cannabis in Washington is going to need a license from the state. And that license application could be the basis for an injunction. Hmm. Your Honor, this guy has planned to commit a federal felony. He's asked for permission to commit a federal felony. Please tell him not to do so. So they could shut it down. That would be simple and direct. But it wouldn't be very effective because unless the states enforce their own marijuana laws, there's nothing the federal government can do. 97% of cannabis arrests in this country are made by state and local officials. So without the help of the state governments in suppressing cannabis production, the feds would be pretty helpless. I think it'd make more sense to have a formal agreement between the states and the federal government, and there's a section of the Controlled Substances Act that actually allows this, to agree on enforcement priorities with respect to cannabis in a way that would leave the activities that are legal under state law at the bottom of the priority list. But there's no getting around the fact that Colorado and Washington are now licensing and planning to tax what will remain felony violations of federal law, and that's not going to be easy to resolve.
What about cannabis policy waivers?
That's an idea that I'm trying to introduce into the discussion.
That's why I asked you.
going back to the old welfare reform process, where individual states were allowed to vary from the statutorily established policy if they could convince the government that they had an idea that might work better. As far as I can tell, that's never been tried with criminal law, so this would be a major innovation. And so far as I can tell, at the moment, I'm the only advocate of it. So I'm not holding my breath. But that does seem to me like a fairly clean way to solve the problem, to say the states can come to the federal government and say, we've got a better idea for controlling cannabis, and show what their plan is to keep it in state and to keep it out of the hands of kids and whatever the other goals are. And if that's approved, say, by the Justice Department, they can go ahead, and people who are acting under their law would then be legal under federal law rather than merely hoping not to get enforced against. But that would require legislation, and no legislation is moving in this Congress. So I think in the meantime, we need some sort of administrative fix, and we'll see what the Justice Department comes up with.
As the rules in Washington State and Colorado are starting to take shape and we're getting a sense of how the system may work, are the two different test cases, if we can use that expression, approaching the issue in the same way, or are there differences in the way they're setting up their regulations?
There are big differences. Colorado is moving toward an integrated system where the growers and the settlers will be the same people. Washington State is much more on the liquor model, where there are growers and processors and retailers, and they have to be distinct. Washington has higher taxes. Colorado, unlike Washington, has permission for anybody who wants to grow at home up to six plants, which is a fair amount of marijuana. And that provision may actually be the joker in the pack in terms of production for out-of-state sale. Washington doesn't have grow your own except for people with medical recommendations. But medical recommendations are extraordinarily easy to get in Washington. And anybody with one of those can grow up to 15 plants. Now, just a plant can produce something like a pound a year. And a pound is about 1,000 joints. So anybody who gets a physician's assistant to write a recommendation saying you could use cannabis for whatever your condition is can produce a very substantial amount of cannabis in Washington. So that's not a provision of the new law. That's actually an older medical marijuana law. And Washington's still wrestling with how to integrate its medical system into its new commercial system.
I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer on WMYC. My guest is Mark Kleiman. He's currently advising Washington State on their cannabis legalization process, and he's also professor of public policy at UCLA School of Public Affairs. And, Mark, in your series with Brian, you've talked about how tax revenue shouldn't be the motivating factor for states who are considering legalizing marijuana, and you discussed marijuana addiction, dependence. You've argued that the drug can be harmful enough that it should cost more in order to discourage abuse. And you've warned against excessive marketing. So are you sure that legalizing pot is a good idea, that it's a good idea across the country?
Am I sure? No. There's a story about Henry Kissinger and Zhou Enlai meeting for the first time in Beijing. They were both historians by trade. And Kissinger said to Zhou, "In China, do you think the French Revolution was a good thing or a bad thing?" And Zhou replied, "In China, we think it's too soon to tell." You know, ask me in 20 years whether cannabis legalization turned out to be a good idea, and I'll have a better opinion. I think given that we have a $30 billion illicit market right now and that the structure of prohibition is crumbling, it's probably time to admit that this thing didn't work and we have to try something else. But whether it will end in tears or not, I don't think we know. And that's the reason we're working hard in Washington to try to help the liquor board get it right.
We have a couple of questions along the same lines from our listeners. Max in Chappaqua, New York, you are on WMYC with Mark Kleiman.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question regarding sort of an offshoot of when it is legalized, and I do believe it'll be legalized eventually throughout the country. As you said, there's only so much that can do to prevent it. But is there something in place, is there a law in place to sort of protect against, in the same way that there's drunk driving, that you still can't drive under the influence, but people may argue that there are different levels of being high in the same way that there are different levels of being drunk? Is there going to be an argument to that sense and kind of just what's going on with that?
Good question. Thank you, Max. And it is true, Mark, we have the blood alcohol level for
right.
drunk driving. It varies from state to state in terms of arrestability, if there is such a word. But what about for driving under the influence of marijuana? How about in Washington State, where you're consulting?
All right. So good news and bad news on the stoned driving front. The good news is it looks like stoned driving isn't nearly as much of a public menace as drunk driving because people are less aggressive. The bad news is, as you say, we've got the blood alcohol level as a pretty decent indicator of how drunk somebody is. Obviously, it's going to vary from person to person. But if you're over 0.08, you shouldn't be driving. I think everybody agrees on that. And you can measure blood alcohol with a breath test, which is cheap and non-intrusive and doesn't require anybody with medical training to administer it. None of those things is true with cannabis. There's no equally simple relationship between blood THC and intoxication level, because THC is lipid soluble and therefore comes back out. So you can still be positive for THC days after you smoked, when you're not actually impaired. There's more than one chemical in THC, unlike alcohol. More than one chemical in cannabis, unlike alcohol. But the big problem is there's no breath test. The only way I can know how much cannabis you have on board is to take a blood test. And that's not something cops can do at the roadside. So it's going to be very hard to craft workable driving under the influence laws. The one I proposed, and again, I'm alone on this at the moment, is to say, since we can test whether you've smoked pot recently and have THC on board, the rule we really want is that you can have zero alcohol if you have any THC, because it appears to be the combination that's most dangerous. That's not very satisfactory. I think that's the best we can do at the moment.
And, Mark, you and Brian have talked throughout the series about how little is actually known about cannabis. Are you hoping that'll change with legalization over time?
Hoping, but not expecting.
Why not?
Because the National Institute on Drug Abuse, which is the primary funding agency for research on drugs of abuse, is only interested in harm and has not been interested in studying the actual process of pot smoking. So, for example, if you wanted to do medical research with cannabis, the only material you could get is the produced by a single lab at the University of Mississippi. And it doesn't have nearly the quality or the variety of what's on the commercial market. So any high school student has access to better pot than you can get for research purposes. And at the moment, there's no movement toward changing that. And in fact, the First Circuit just upheld a decision by the Drug Enforcement Administration to deny a license to the University of Massachusetts to run a competing production facility.
And the result, when will that open?
No, just upheld DEA in denying the license.
Oh, in denying the license.
So the First Circuit read a statute that required adequate competition and decided that a monopoly that doesn't produce many of the relevant products is adequate competition. It's great to wear black night robes.
And denying the license. Well, unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there.
All right.
And your prediction of unlikely to know more about cannabis may come true. Mark Kleiman has joined Brian every week this month to talk about the serious policy questions around legalizing marijuana. He is advising Washington State on their process there. And he is also professor of public policy at UCLA School of Public Affairs, co-author of Marijuana Legalization, What Everyone Needs to Know. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks very much.
And I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. Stay tuned for Hour 2.